And as you take your seat, if you'll turn with me to our scripture text this morning in Psalm 103, I'll be reading for you the first five verses. In the Pew Bibles, it's page number 939, if you want to turn to it there. But let's look to God's Word and hear the challenge and charge to be praising and thankful. Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You've heard it said that there are two kinds of people in the world. And then it goes on from there. There are two kinds of people in this world, aren't there? Those who love country music and those who don't. There are two kinds of people in the world. Those who were Giants fans and those who aren't. There are two kinds of people in the world. Those who are Jersey Shore locals and those who are Bennies. Or in South Jersey, those who were locals and those who were Shoebies, right? Just slightly different. Or, specifically, there are those who are optimists and those who are pessimists. Those whose glass is half full and those whose glass is half empty. There are those who always look on the bright side of things and those who only see the dark side. There are those who always find good in people and those who are always looking for faults in others. There are two kinds of people. There are the grudging or the grateful. The grudging and the grateful. There are the griping and the gracious. There are the gripping and the growing. Those who are clutching, clinging, gripping onto things and growing, on the other hand, healthy, flourishing, and giving generously. Now, it's been said also that as we grow older, we tend to move towards our personality preferences. In other words, people say that the sweet get sweeter and the grumpy old men get grumpier, or the crotchety get crotchetier, if such a thing is a word. But Christians don't need to resign themselves to personality predispositions and, well, that's just the way I am, and that's my personality. Grace, God's grace, results in our lives bringing change and growth through the Holy Spirit in our Christian lives. Even in our dispositions, sinners are transformed into godliness by God's grace. Grumpiness, therefore, can be transformed into cheerfulness by the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, by the power of God through His Holy Spirit. This morning I want to think about grumpy or gracious, grumpy or grateful, genuine thanksgiving, and how to generate genuine thanksgiving. Perhaps you're not feeling particularly thankful. Perhaps in this season of COVID pandemic, it's just getting so wearisome and wearing you down. It's worn you down. Actually, long ago, and it just keeps going and going and going. Our Thanksgiving theme this morning is how to be thankful when you don't feel it. After all, we are commanded here and in many places in the scripture to give thanks in all circumstances. Really, Pastor? Give thanks in all circumstances? I'm not feeling it. It would be nice if gratitude were more than just a mechanical activity. Just like worship. It'd be nice if worship came spontaneously in praise from the heart. So how do we affect this? When I think of thankfulness, I remember my mama always said, Alan, say thank you. Thank you. Right? Perhaps you've said that. Perhaps you've heard that said to you. But, you know, hopefully, as we grow a heart of praise and thanksgiving that comes from the heart, not just drudgingly and dutifully said. Psalm 103 gives us some helpful keys to genuine thanksgiving, especially amidst difficult times. As I look over our church family, I can think of so many who have been going through difficult times, whether it's health, whether it's loss, whether it's challenges of any sort. How can we be thankful even in the midst of these times, these circumstances? Well, the psalmist essentially says is count and recount your blessings. Count your blessings. Learn to develop an attitude of gratitude that flows from a heart of praise. Let me say that again. Let us learn to develop an attitude of gratitude that flows from a heart of praise. A heart of praise. For that's really the framing of this psalm. David sings, praise the Lord, O my soul. King James Version, we used to read, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. There is an inseparable connection between the source of our blessing and the blessings themselves in our lives. Let me say that again. There is an inseparable connection between the source of blessing in our lives, who is God, and the blessings. Sometimes we get so fixed on the blessings that we forget the blesser. Before we can thank God for his blessings, we must praise him for who he is. Praise is really all about exalting God for who he is, his being. That's what doxology is all about. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. In fact, the Greek word for praise is doxa, doxology, right? Words of praise. Praise begins with exalting God for who he is. We praise him for his attributes and his activities. We praise God for he is worthy for his majesty and grace, for his holiness and his love. We praise God for his almighty power, for his goodness, and so many things. For who God is, he is worthy of our praise. Is your praise coming from engaging your heart, or is it simply lip service? There are two keys to thankful praise that I can think of. There are probably many, but here in this psalm we see that intentional choice is a key to thankful praise flowing from the heart. Praise or bless is an imperative. It's a command given to us from the psalmist, from the Lord, inspiring the psalmist. Blessing and thanksgiving is not an option for Christians. Well, it depends on how I feel today, whether I'll praise and thank the Lord. blessing and thanksgiving is not merely a consequence of our circumstances and blessings in our lives. Praise and thanksgiving involves an intentional initiative, a conscious choice on our behalf. Today, I will choose to bless the Lord, to praise Him in all things. Second key to thankful praise is wholehearted exaltation. Notice the psalmist sings, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." Not half-hearted praise, not casual worship, but wholehearted exaltation. Not some superficial, mechanical, formal, external, boring religion. Rather, praise, thankful praise. Wholehearted exaltation is a deep, spontaneous, internal heart devotion. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Blesses. Maybe this is bringing up in your memory, in your mind, a little chorus we used to sing. It's a little oldie and goldie these days. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Really, Alan, do you have to sing in the middle of a sermon? I do. I'm sorry. You know, it just kind of pops out. Anybody remember that? Bless the Lord, O my soul. 5 or 6. Well, we're going to sing it anyhow. Bless the Lord, let's say it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. I'm not convinced yet. Let's do it one more time. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. We even got harmony. Awesome. You guys are awesome. An attitude of gratitude flows from a heart of praise. And secondly, an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving grows from a heart that remembers God's graces. An attitude of gratitude grows from a heart that remembers all of God's blessings, His gifts, His graces. Verse 2, David sings, "Forget not," in other words, remember all of His benefits. A recounting and remembering all of God's blessings and benefits. The rest of the psalm is a record of that collection and recollection, remembering God's blessings. First of all, remember His grace and forgiveness. His grace and forgiveness. God who forgives all your sins, not just the little ones, things we tend to excuse and overlook. All your sins, not just the unintentional, unthinking lapses or mistakes we tend to call them. All our sins, the big ones and little ones, the deliberate and not deliberate, the witting and unwitting sins. All our sins are covered by God's grace through Christ. Perhaps you've forgotten your guilt. So remembering His grace is not as easy. Perhaps you tend to forget. You don't remember your burden of sin. Perhaps you haven't felt the burden of your own sin. Friends, forgiveness is easy, right? Wrong. Forgiveness is not easy. People often say it's easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission, right? Wrong. That's an urban myth, especially with a holy and just God. Forgiveness is not cheap. Forgiveness has costs. In fact, it costs God the life of his only begotten beloved Son. The only way that we can be forgiven is the sacrifice of Christ on our behalf, taking on our sin upon himself, that God, who is holy, can indeed cover our sins and forgive us from all unrighteousness. Mercy and compassion has moved God to forgive us. As it says in verses 8 through 12, the part of the psalm I didn't read, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Remember his grace and forgiveness. Secondly, as we remember God's gifts and graces, remember his healing touch on our lives. He touched me. He touched me, and oh, the joy that fills my soul. Praise God, he heals all our diseases. All? Really? I've been praying for healing for a loved one for so long. Well, God can heal. God often does heal. But it's according to his purpose and his goodwill. And remember, the ultimate healing is heaven, where there is therefore now no more death, no more sin, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more tears. I long for God's ultimate healing. But even now, physical healing, mental healing, spiritual healing, all our diseases we lift up to the Lord. His healing is all-inclusive and all-comprehensive according to his will. Remember his healing. Remember his redemption and our salvation. God has redeemed us from the pit, the psalmist sings. Without life in Christ, our life is the pits, the psalmist is saying. Pitiful, perhaps you might say. God has set us free. He has released us from bondage to sin and death. He has delivered us from all that ensnares us. Don't forget the slavery. He says to Egypt, remember back in Egypt? Do you want to go back to Egypt? Remember how he has purchased your redemption and set you free. God has taken our sin and set us free from the power as well as the guilt of our sin. Quit grumbling and complaining. Be grateful, for God has set you free. Amen? And lastly, remember God's love and compassion. Remember, as you count your blessings, God's love and compassion. Verse 5, he crowns you with love and compassion. Verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, abounding in love. Verse 11, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Verse 13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Verse 17, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. This morning, do you get the message? God loves you. Do you hear the word spoken to you? God loves you. Do you feel the power and the impact of God's love? He cares for you with mercy and compassion, no matter what you're going through right now. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Can you feel the warmth and comfort of his loving embrace this morning? And be thankful. That's where thanksgiving grows and flows from our hearts. This thanksgiving, cultivate an attitude of gratitude by a heart alive with generous praise. This thanksgiving, cultivate an attitude of gratitude through conscious memories of all of his graces, all of his gifts, and be grateful. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it may surprise you what the Lord has done. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we do give you thanks. We do give you praise as we remember. As we look back and think of all that you have done in spite of ourselves, in spite of our circumstances, in spite of the chaos in this world, we know, Lord, that every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven above, and we give you thanks. Today, throughout this week, throughout every week, Lord, we thank you. We pray that you would work within us hearts of grace and gratitude, that it may be spontaneous in love and response to your love and compassion. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.